guys. Welcome to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. This week, I want to have a little chat, a little motivation, a little pick-me-up that I think we need sometimes about being happy. I feel like, honestly, with social media, I feel like sometimes life is so freaking hard because I think of social media and the projection of happy and that we always need to have it all together and that all of that stuff. And just, you know, life is not like that. Life is messy. Life is complicated. Life is hard. Life is beautiful. Life is simple. Life is joyful. But you got to be able to balance the two. But I'm talking specifically to the person. We're not going to talk about social media and the facades and the happy and all that stuff. I want to really focus on the person who is struggling to let themselves be happy. This was me for years. I feel like for years and years, I feared, and it's funny because I definitely did not know I was doing this. I had absolutely no idea. And it took someone that I really love, one of my really good friends, saying to me specifically in my face while tears are pouring down my face, ugly cry, you struggle to let yourself be happy. And in that moment, I was like, holy shit, like she's right. I had never known that before. I never even thought of that before. And like, I like to think I'm a pretty deep, introspective person that I can kind of, even when I was younger, own, okay, I had a little daddy issue, or okay, I had this going on. So I always kind of knew my stuff. I was comfortable with my stuff. But that was something that I really had absolutely no idea I was struggling with until she kind of like pinpointed it out to me. And I realized that, holy shit, I actually really do struggle with letting myself just be content and be happy where I am. I was either always chasing something, like the next thing that I wanted. I don't know if that's the Capricorn in me or the achiever or the entrepreneur or the whatever, but there was always this like go, go mentality where I was always moving on to the next thing. I think it also is a little bit of the caretaker in me, which is a role that I did not aspire to be. I feel like it's just based on a lot of just crap that I've been through and wounds that I've had. But the let yourself be happy was either trying to achieve all these different things and fearing just being still and just being content and happy. I think it freaked me out because when the rug is pulled up from underneath you so many times, or you have so many wounds going on inside of you, and look, we all do, so let's all keep it real. No one, I would say this because I want to make sure that no one feels weird when they say like, yeah, I have stuff, but we also don't want to be a victim, and there has to be like a balance between the two. So when you hear watch the videos of the people, you know, telling you don't be a victim, don't be a victim. Okay, cool. But we also have to make sure that we can honor like, yeah, we've been through some stuff and like it sucks. So we have to be able to sit in that space. And if you can't, then you're neglecting your emotional health. And when we talk about emotional health and mental health and all that kind of stuff, that is probably the number one thing that most people don't do for themselves, is they don't give themselves the validation. They don't give themselves that emotional health that they need in order to really be healthy. So I didn't give myself any of that because quite frankly, I didn't even know that there was an issue. Like I didn't know that I was struggling to just like be happy and allow myself to be happy. And I'll tell you, the conversation came up between the two of us because I was dating my boyfriend, Jason. We've been together for a little over 6 years, and we were dating, I think we were in like, I don't know, maybe like month 4 or something like that. And he was 2.5 hours away from me, and he was going to be moving down near me. And I remember us kind of talking about like where specifically he was going to be moving. And he mentioned where I was in my town. And it kind of freaked me out. Now, to any other girl, they probably would have loved it. They would have been like, oh my God, this means that this person like clearly wants to be with me. Whereas I immediately was like, oh, so you don't want your own life somewhere else? And it just like freaked me out. And we weren't officially a couple yet, but we were, you know, still dating. And I knew that I was starting to feel things, but I was definitely just, I had my walls up, and you guys, if you followed me for a while, you know my story. Like, I mean, who wouldn't have walls up after going through what I've been through? But anyways, so I'm a little guarded, little walls up. And I also think, like, I genuinely felt good in my own skin. Like, I had my life, I had my town, I built my roots, and that was so important to me because right before I got divorced, I had just settled my roots in a town. We had just bought a house. We had just had Ryan, our first son, our only child. And I felt like, you guys know, no matter what age you are, there comes a period of your life where you're like, all right, I'm ready to kind of like settle down and not even necessarily like get married or any relationship stuff. It's like you just want comfort. Like, you want that feeling of, okay, this is my town, this is my dry cleaner, the guy at the post office knows me. Like, you know, you just want that comfort and familiarity. And for me, I never really craved that. I lived in a really, when I was really younger, I lived in a kind of rough area. Saw some things definitely shouldn't have seen, but that's what happens when you live in rougher areas. And then we moved to a really nice town, beautiful town, beach town, New England town. Like, I loved growing up there and living there. But there was no real opportunity there. So it wasn't really near any kind of like city life. And I'm a balance between, I need city life, I need access to it, and I also need like peace and sanctuary and suburb life. So I knew like I need to have access to something. And where I grew up, I just knew after high school and like a little bit in college, it just didn't feel like home anymore. So anyways, so I moved to LA with some friends. I'm in a relationship. Then I moved to Phoenix. Then I moved to Nashville, and I come back to Massachusetts at like around 27. And I think around 30, 31 was when I started getting the itch of like, okay, I want to be settled now. I want to start like planting my roots and like figuring out like my town and my familiarity again. And I wanted to feel that like home feeling. And so I felt like where I was after my divorce, because I moved the hell out of that town where I was living with my ex-husband, got as far away as I could from that and built my roots in a new town where I didn't know anyone, and it's me and Ryan, and it took so much freaking work and effort. And you know what's funny, and I say it all the time, I feel like some of the things that I've gone through in life that are on the outside looking in would be so crazy hard to go through. Like, even just looking back at my past, some of the things that I've gone through that I thought, well, that I went through with ease were the hardest things. And some of the things that were easier transitions, I feel like were the toughest for me. I don't know what that has to say. I'll diagnose that later in the privacy of my own therapy session. But so I had like my life, I had my routine, I had my comfort, I was building friends, you know, Ryan's there, and we're just building this great community. And the thought of someone coming into it, it really scared the hell out of me. And so she said, as I'm like crying and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know what I want, like I'm all over the place. And she was like, you know, you don't need to know everything right now. And I think for the planner, for the go-getter, for, you know, my personality, I didn't really ever think like I actually don't need an answer. She was right. Like, I didn't need to know right now if this was going to be it, because I think that just would have put so much more pressure on me. And I'm just not that kind of person. Like, I am not a person that jumps into relationships. I never have been. I'm always a person that I need time. I go at a turtle pace. I need to feel comfortable, you know, all of those things. Some people can just bounce from one relationship to the next, and that just is not my jam. So I knew, okay, we're going at a turtle pace. You're 2.5 hours away, so clearly we can't even see each other all the time. But we're consistent, and we like each other, and we make time to see each other. And I kind of have like the best of both worlds right now. I'm seeing someone that I really like, and I still have my baby, and it's just him and I, and I have me time. And so everything's going great. But you're going to move closer. You're going to move down the street. Oh my God. So now you're going to be here all the time. And then, so long story short, she says this, and I realize like, okay, I guess I have more freaking work that I have to do on myself, clearly. And this is the funny part, is when people talk about, even with me, I always try to make it a point to say that when I'm talking about healing, that I'm not talking about you're going to heal from something and you're, it's never going to affect you ever again. It's like, it's just going to completely go away as if it was just never there. When it comes to emotional wounds, I just don't think that that's possible. I think it's possible to heal from something, meaning it is not living in your current life, taking up space, interrupting your life, like causing you to self-sabotage and do all of those things. Yes, that's when you've kind of up-leveled, rised up and healed. That's what I'm talking about. But there's forever going to be situations that you're going to face that are going to trigger that kind of like old wound or old experience or situation that you went through to kind of like come up. So that fear is always going to be there. It's just whether or not you listen to it, whether or not you allow it in your life and have it control your life and kind of just like run the show. That's what we're looking to avoid as we're like, you know, working on ourselves. So I know for me, the let yourself be happy was a struggle for me because I just feared, I felt like I had created my own happy and I finally had it regardless of a relationship or a situation. Like I just started my business too. I mean, didn't just start it, but really when I met Jason, I was kind of like in year one. I think I had like been on YouTube for maybe 6 months, had a couple of clients, but I hadn't started the podcast, like hadn't started doing online courses and workshops and memberships and all of that stuff. It was still such a baby, but I was so excited and I was like living and breathing it. And I had really, I just had such a great balance and I really genuinely was happy. And so I thought, but of course, on the flip side, I do want a relationship and I do want to get involved. And I knew basically the reason why I was struggling to let myself be happy was fear. And that for me started like the journey of, okay, let's start unpacking what our fears are and figuring out what the hell they are, because those are the things that are preventing me from enjoying my life, being happy, feeling content, going after the things that I want. And so that it's always been the thing that I focus on the most when I'm on the phone with you guys is figuring out like, all right, what are the predominant fears right now? P.S. They're always going to change and they're going to evolve into like new things. But letting myself be happy was realizing that, okay, here's the fear, that as much work as I've done on myself, there's still a part of me that's like really nervous and scared to jump in, to be vulnerable, to let someone into my life. You know, and it just, I think it worried me so much that it prevented me. Well, I don't want to say it prevented me, but it would have probably prevented me from actually really possibly getting involved. You know, maybe I would have sabotaged it. Maybe I would have found a flaw. And I tell Jason all the time, I'm like, if you had lived here and we would have met each other, you would have wanted to see me, you know, all the time or once a week or whatever that is. And I probably would have ended up finding some kind of an excuse or reason to just get out of it or to make some like reason up of why you're probably not right for me. And I think it took us doing long distance for me to feel comfortable enough with him to slowly start trusting him. And I think when you go through like a really shitty past relationship and crappy experience, it's hard for you to put yourself out there again because of course you fear all of that pain happening again to you. And that's like, that's totally normal. And I did logically understand like, okay, he's not like my ex, and or not every person is like my ex. And in the beginning after my divorce, I definitely knew I wasn't ready because the thought of being vulnerable to being hurt again was just too much. And I know, look, a lot of you might be there still, or you know for sure you're just in that space where you're like, all right, I'm definitely not ready to date. Like, I'm not ready to have the possibility of getting hurt again. And that just goes to show that you aren't ready and that that's okay. But you will eventually get to the place where you're like, okay, I'm ready to open up to the possibility of having the things that I know I want and the things that I know I deserve. And it took really good friends of mine saying to me, look, you don't need to know right in this moment, like whether or not this is the one and you're going to marry him and this and that, but you also need to just like let yourself be happy with what you have right now and not trying to overthink it And the funniest thing is I always like give people this example because I think it's such a great, you know, kind of like metaphor, I guess, for what we go through sometimes. I'm watching Wedding Crashers. And if you've ever seen the movie, at the end of the movie, I forgot the guy's name. He played the dad. And oh my God, what is her name? The girl from The Notebook. Rachel McAdams. She's there and she's talking to her dad and she's like contemplating whether or not she should marry this guy or be with this other guy that she's starting to like have feelings for. And the dad knows that she's conflicted. Like he can just tell that she's conflicted. And he's like, look, I think her name was Claire in the movie. And he goes, Claire Bear, all you can do is make the best decision. All we can do is make the best decision with what we know right now. I think I'm just paraphrasing now at this point, but he said, you know, we don't know what the future holds. All we can do is make the best decision with what we know right now. And for me, I don't know why when I saw that movie and I had seen it like so many freaking times, but that time when I heard that, I was like, holy shit, like he's right. Like I'm only going to make the best decision with what I know. And I had to be honest and not come from fear because then that would have allowed me to make the best decision. And that me trying to just like find every little red flag that I could possibly find is just not a way to live. So I'm going to make the best decision with what I know and screw it. If I made a bad decision, like I'll learn my lesson. I'll learn the lesson I'm supposed to learn and I'll keep moving on. Like I've done it before. And I do think that when you go through really, really painful stuff and you actually do a lot of serious work on yourself, you won't ever make that horrible of a decision ever again because you're not that version of yourself. Like you did level up. And so you learned something and you're taking what you learned and you're going into the world and you're making better decisions. Like, are you going to make the most perfect decision every single time? No, probably not. But I knew for sure that the things that I was now valuing in a person or in a partner were just way different than what I valued before. And that was the thing that kind of like gave me comfort, was that I knew that the things that I was looking at before in a relationship or the things that like I wanted, some of them I definitely still wanted, but the things that were at the top of the list weren't at the top of the list before. And those things were emotional. And I was really starting to focus more on finding my friend and the person that I felt comfortable with. Of course, we had great chemistry and like we could just talk and talk. And it was just, I mean, I felt like I had known him forever. Like he was just automatically my best friend. And I think that's the stuff that you can't, there is no logical decision with that. There's chemistry is chemistry and it's either there or it's not. So I never really put an emphasis on, oh, I need to make sure I have chemistry and have these feelings. Like I knew that the most important thing for me was to see who was this person? What is his consistent pattern? And as we're going through life together, like how does he handle stress? How does he handle me when I'm stressed? Like how do we love each other? And the things that we give each other, can we like teach each other also who we are and how we want to be loved? And is the person receptive to that? Because how I just like give love, of course we want someone to value it in us, but I also was not naive to know that, okay, he needs something different. For example, his love language is physical touch and mine's not. Mine's acts of service. So if I'm naturally giving acts of service to you because that's how I give love, I want you to appreciate it. But I also know that that may not be the thing that you actually need. And it's funny because we both now appreciate each other's love languages. Like I didn't really appreciate physical touch before. You know, yeah, it's great, but it wasn't something that I craved or really, really wanted. And now I do. So it's just funny how you learn to like respect and appreciate each other. So you guys, listen, I know it's not easy to be in these situations. I know it's hard to really allow yourself to be happy, but I'm telling you, it is all about self-parenting. And I tell people all the time, you really, really have to work on yourself to understand what are my fears. And you're not going to know any of this unless you're actually doing that inner work. If you are interested in taking my self-parenting course, I always link it down below for you guys. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's podcast, and I will see you in the next one. Take care.